fear of the Creator. The light of the Creator fills the entire creation. In a way, we swim inside the light, but we can't perceive it. The pleasures that we feel are but tiny rays, which, with the Creator's mercy, reach us, since without any pleasure, we would have ended our existence. These rays are felt by us as forces that attract us to the objects into which the rays enter. The objects themselves are of no consequence, and this becomes evident to us when at some point we stop being interested in the objects that posed a great attraction to us before. The reason for receiving only the small light rather than the entire light of the Creator is that our egoism acts as a barrier. If our egoistic desires are present, the light cannot be perceived in accordance with the law of the congruence of qualities, the law of likeness. Two objects can perceive each other only to the degree to which the qualities of the two objects coincide. Even in our world, we can see that if two people are on completely different levels of thought and desire, they can't understand each other. Thus, if an individual possesses the qualities of the Creator, he would simply be immersed in the unbounded ocean of pleasure and complete knowledge. But if the Creator fills everything with himself, and there's no need to look for him as for some precious object, then evidently he doesn't entail the concept of reward. Similarly, the concept of work can't be applied to the search for him, because he's around us and inside us. He can't be perceived by us, but he's in our faith. At the same time, once we perceive him and receive pleasure from him, it can't be said that we were rewarded because there's no work done, and the object in question is found in abundance in the whole world. Then this object cannot be considered to be the reward. The question remains then, what is the reward for resisting our egoistic nature? It's first important to understand why the Creator instituted the law of congruence, as a result of which, though he fills everything, we're unable to perceive him. As a consequence of this law, he conceals himself from us. The answer is as follows. The Creator instituted the law of congruence, as a result of which we only perceive those objects that are on the same spiritual level as us, in order to prevent us from experiencing the most dreadful feeling in egoism at the time of receiving pleasure from him, the feeling of shame and of humiliation. Egoism cannot withstand this feeling. If a person's unable to justify one's bad action to himself or to others, if a person's unable to find any extraneous circumstances that have supposedly forced him against one's will to carry out the bad deed, then that person prefers any other punishment except the feeling of humiliation of the self, because the self is the pillar of that person's existence, and once it's humiliated, the self disappears spiritually as if the person disappeared from this world. But when a person reaches such a level of understanding that his only desire is to give everything to the Creator, and when a person is constantly preoccupied with the thought of what else can be done for the sake of the Creator, then that person discovers that he was created in order to receive pleasure from the Creator, and the Creator doesn't desire anything but that. At that point, a person receives all possible pleasures because he wants to carry out the will of the Creator. In such a case, there's no place for the feelings of shame, because the Creator shows to that individual that he desires to impart pleasures on that person, and he wants that person to accept it. Thus, by accepting, a person carries out the will of the Creator rather than personal egotistic desires. As a result, the person becomes analogous to the Creator in qualities, and the screen of barrier disappears. All this issues because a person has reached the spiritual level at which he can give pleasure like the Creator. From the aforesaid, it can be concluded that the reward that person should seek for his efforts should consist of receiving new altruistic qualities, desires to give, and aspirations to provide pleasure similar to the desires of the Creator towards us. This spiritual level and these qualities are known as fear of the Creator. Spiritual altruistic fear, just like any other anti-egotistic qualities of spiritual objects, is completely unlike any of our qualities or perceptions. Fear of the Creator consists of a person having the fear of being pushed away from the Creator, but neither from calculations of selfish benefit, nor from fear of being left with egoism, nor the fear of becoming similar to the Creator, since they're based on notions of personal benefit and take into consideration only one's own state. The fear of the Creator is a selfless concern about not being able to do something that could have been done for the sake of the Creator. Such fear is itself an altruistic quality of a spiritual object. in contrast to our egotistic fear, which is always connected to our inability to satisfy our own needs. Attaining the qualities of fearing the Creator should be the cause and the goal of an individual's efforts. One should put all one's strength into this endeavor. Then, with the aid of the attained qualities, a person can receive all the pleasures that are in store for him. Such a state is known as the completing of the correction, called Gemar Tikkun. The fear of the Creator should precede the love for the Creator. The reason for this is as follows. In order for a person to fulfill his obligations from a sense of love, in order to recognize the pleasure that's contained in the spiritual actions known as commandments, in order for these pleasures to invoke the feeling of love, since in our world that which brings us pleasure is loved by us, whereas that which brings us suffering is hated, then that person should first attain the fear of the Creator. If an individual observes the commandments not from the feeling of love and not from pleasure, but from the feeling of fear, then it means that that individual does not perceive the pleasure that's concealed in the commandments and carries out the will of the Creator out of fear of punishment. The body doesn't resist this task because it also fears punishment, but it constantly asks about the reason for performing the tasks at hand. In turn, this gives an individual a reason to increase one's fear and belief in punishment and reward that's inherent in the Creator's domain, until that individual grows to perceive the existence of the Creator constantly. Having acquired the feeling of the Creator's existence, that is, having attained faith in the Creator, an individual can begin to carry out the will of the Creator from a feeling of love, since that individual has acquired the taste and found the pleasure in observing the commandments. On the other hand, if the Creator permitted an individual to observe the commandments from the feeling of love from the very beginning, thus bypassing fear and only perceiving pleasure from the task, that individual would never develop faith in the Creator. This can be compared to the people who spend their entire lives chasing worldly pleasures and who have no need of the faith of the Creator in order to observe the commandments or the laws of their nature, since their nature compels them to this task by promising a reward. Therefore, if a Kabbalist perceived the pleasure in the spiritual laws of the Creator from the very beginning, he would involuntarily observe them, just as the rest of the people would rush to fulfill the will of the Creator just for the sake of the tremendous rewards that are concealed in the way of Kabbalah. Then no person would ever be able to come closer to the Creator. For this reason, there exists a concealment of the pleasures that are contained in the spiritual laws and in the way of Kabbalah as a whole. The light is the pleasure that's hidden in each spiritual law. The light of the Creator is the sum of all the spiritual laws. These pleasures are revealed only when the state of constant faith in the Creator is attained.